Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Timing is perfect to talk NBA on a national level. The news that LeBron James is going to be a Los Angeles Laker just coming down within the last 90 minutes or so. And joining me to talk about that right now, he is an NBA writer for CBSSports.com. James Herbert joining me on CBS Sports Radio. James, how are we doing tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me time to finish my column.
Yeah. You were supposed to join us last hour. I know how that goes, man. So the flexibility is no problem at all. I appreciate you making time on what is kind of an out of nowhere Sunday night announcement from LeBron James. And there's a lot to unpack here, obviously, James. Let's start with the announcement itself. Were you surprised by the timing of it, given the fact that there's no commitment nor easy path, at least, to seeing a second All-star level player going to LA right now?
I was not surprised by the destination. I was not totally surprised by the timing, but I was surprised by the way it happened. It was just a single tweet from the Clutch Sports Twitter account, which is not even verified, with a very short press release, no video, nothing on Uninterrupted, just a very short, just quiet announcement that LeBron had signed with the Lakers and sent the entire NBA world into a frenzy. I was of the belief that it still made sense for LeBron to go there even without a commitment from another star, but I assumed we were going to get some sort of production here.
Yeah, I was a little surprised he's going there without another star. I will say this, and I'm not a huge LeBron fan one way or the other. I love that we live in a time where we're getting to watch him play, but I kind of like the fact that he just said, you know what, screw it, I'm going to sign here, and then we'll see how the chips fall. I do like that better than him kind of waiting and seeing, is there a Kawhi trade? How do you process the whole thing, just as someone who covers it, and maybe even as a fan as well?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. As a fan, it's something new, right? Like, the possibilities here are sort of endless. I don't think anybody wanted to see LeBron going back and having a similar season to last year. Not that he wasn't incredible last year, because I covered some of those playoff games in person, and that was unbelievable, but just him dragging that cast of characters to the finals, knowing they had no real shot to beat the Warriors, and there wasn't that much chance of, like, forward momentum over the first few years. I think, as a sort of impartial fan, like, I wouldn't have been that excited about him going back to Cleveland. I don't think a lot of people outside of Cleveland would have been excited either, and I think, as for his choice to sort of go here and do the bold thing of not waiting around, not trying to facilitate another star joining him, I think, yes, it's bold, but it's also really smart. I think he wouldn't necessarily do this with another franchise. I don't think this is as big a risk as some people are making it out to be, because you're looking at the Los Angeles Lakers with valuable trade chips, if not good young players that he can actually play with and grow with, plus an enormous amount of cap space for next summer to add another player. So I think that there's almost no downside here. I think this is one of the most attractive free agents for a star to join, whether it's through free agency or whether it's through a trade, than we've ever seen in NBA history. I mean, we all know stars love to play in LA, and we all know guys like to play with LeBron, so it just makes sense. I think it was a bold move, but I think the confidence is deserved in this case.
James Herbert, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, James, so let's look ahead 3 months from now. Who do you think the next two or three or four best players on the Lakers are when the Lakers head to camp this fall?
Yeah, that's the interesting question right now. I mean, as presently constructed, it's like Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I guess, because he just agreed to re-sign there, right? But look, I think the Kawhi Leonard thing is still very likely. All indications are that he still wants to be a Laker. And in a roundabout way, I think LeBron choosing to go there first actually helps the Lakers in their sort of dealings and their negotiations with San Antonio. Because I think before LeBron committed, San Antonio could ask so much of the Lakers in a trade, because they're saying, look, you're not just trading for one superstar. You're essentially trading for this superstar, maybe the third or fourth best player in the world, plus the best player in the world. You have to give us everything. We want all your young players. We want a bunch of first-round unprotected picks. we're going to turn you into a super team, and we don't want to do that without being compensated fairly for it now. Well, LeBron's already there. So I just don't think San Antonio has the same amount of leverage. So I'm not looking at this and saying that this decreases the chance of them getting Kawhi Leonard. I think it increases the chance, and it means that the deal will probably be more favorable for Los Angeles now.
Probably the only thing, and James Herbert joining me on CBS Sports Radio, I would guess the only thing that could put San Antonio back into a favorable position, James, would be if a second team entered the fray for Kawhi, right? If you get two teams that are putting dueling packages out there for Kawhi, and I guess I'm specifically referring to the Boston Celtics, who with LeBron leaving the East are, to me, just now head and shoulders above everybody in the Eastern Conference. Does LeBron leaving the East maybe embolden the Celtics to make a move for Kawhi because they've got a much bigger margin for error now and could maybe try to sell him on staying there on a one-year rental?
It might, but I'm still not sure that the Celtics are going to make their very best offer. I don't think in their position, if you just look at their position, look at their roster, look at how young some of those players are, I don't think they're going to necessarily put that motherlode offer on the table that's going to trump everything else. I agree with you. Like, I think if you just look at what the Celtics have, they should be able to make the best offer. But I'm not sure that they're going to make a better offer than, say, a team like the Sixers, who could be in the mix here as well. So, it's an interesting one. I think the Celtics are in a position to make it happen, but they also have Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and Jason Tatum on the wing. And if they just keep this roster going as is, it's still going to be an extremely expensive team in a few years with Kyrie Irving coming up as a free agent next summer, with Al Horford the year after that. And things get a lot more complicated, and the window gets a bit shorter if you get Kawhi. There's a whole bunch of things that they have to manage when making this decision. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, because Kawhi Leonard is an incredible player and I think would immediately become the best player on the Celtics. But I just think it's complicated. I'm not sure how motivated they are to go all in and put all their chips on the table, unless they have an agreement from Kawhi Leonard that he's definitely going to stay, which I don't believe they're going to get.
Do you believe there will be a drumbeat for the league to go to a 1-16 seeding of the playoffs now with LeBron over in the West?
I think that's already starting. I think that has been going on for a little while, certainly how this season played out with the Rockets head and shoulders above every team in the Eastern Conference and sort of made that a point of contention. I think it'll be loud now, but if Kawhi Leonard gets traded to the Lakers, the second that happens, it'll get a heck of a lot louder.
Yeah, I mean, have you allowed your mind to wander to what the Western Conference playoffs are going to look like next year? I mean, it's like Infinity War right now.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know quite how good the Lakers are going to be yet, and I mean, look, the Rockets still have to re-sign Clint Capella. They still have to take care of Luke Bamute, figure out how they're going to replace Trevor Ariza. But if the Rockets are about as good as they were last year, and if the Lakers do end up getting Kawhi, then yeah, it's unbelievable to think that one of those three teams, the Warriors, the Rockets, and the Lakers, will be eliminated before the conference final. Like, that's nuts.
James Herbert, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. James, just shifting gears for a second, some of the other signings. Paul George, which, you know, obviously is at least storyline-wise tied to LeBron, because we all thought he was going. If anybody was going to L.A., it was going to be Paul George. And now he's besties with Russell Westbrook. Did you ever get a vibe during the season or the postseason that Paul George was entirely happy in Oklahoma City? Did this surprise you?
It surprised me, but if you go back and look at everything he said throughout the year, it was uniformly positive. Like, he was praising Russell Westbrook, being effusive in that praise. I believe in an interview with Rachel Nichols at some point in the season, he said it was going to make his decision even easier because of how well things were going with Russ. If you even go back to last summer, before he played a game for the Thunder, when he did his introductory press conference, when he did his story with Lee Jenkins at SI, he was talking about how he appreciated how the Thunder went out and got him and made a bold move, made a risky move for them because of how much they believed in his game. And I think he sort of wanted the Lakers to do that, honestly. So there were signs that Paul George was really happy. He really bought into the culture. He bought what Sam Presti was selling. He got along well with Russell Westbrook off the court. Royce Young at ESPN has written at length about that subject specifically. But I think a lot of people just thought that his love for the Lakers, the hometown connection, would override all of that, and it just didn't.
What did you think of Chris Paul's contract extension with the Rockets?
I thought it was fair. I thought going the full five was going to be a bit much, a bit tough for the Rockets to swallow, given that they would be paying him like you know, $46 million when he's like 38 years old. This deal, right. I mean, they're paying him $43 million at 37. So there's still some risk there at the end of that contract. But I think that this is the price of a Hall of Fame point guard and competing for championships. I think the Rockets had to give up a little something, and Chris Paul had to give up a little something, and they sort of met in the middle, and it made sense.
Last thing before I let you go, James, and we're talking to James Herbert of CBSSports.com. Last thing, if Kawhi becomes a Laker, it's obviously going to be via a trade. So there will still be, theoretically, there will still be one more max salary cap slot that maybe would have gone to Paul George. Who do you think, how do you think the Lakers play it with that max salary slot that's still sitting there?
I don't think they even know that yet, right? Because it looks like they're, the way that they're going about this, like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has already eaten up some of their salary cap space this year. It seems like they're waiting until next year to have that salary cap open. Like I would be absolutely flabbergasted if they signed anybody in between now and the end of the offseason to more than a one-year deal, because they're focused on that. But you look to next summer, you look like, what about a guy like Jimmy Butler? Like that, there aren't any rumors about him going to L.A., but he could certainly be linked there. What about Kevin Durant, who just signed a 1+1 with the Warriors? He turned down LeBron this time, but maybe he'd be interested in doing that next year. I think Lakers fans are going to go absolutely crazy with the possibilities of what could happen with that cap space, just like they did over the past year. And all of that will be something to watch throughout the season. But honestly, right now, I don't think we even know.
James Herbert, CBSSports.com, covers the NBA. And you can find him on Twitter. What's your at Outside the NBA? Is that you, James, right there?
Correct. Yes.
All right, there it is. At Outside the NBA on Twitter. Hey, James, really appreciate you making time, man. I know it's a crazy night for anybody who writes about the NBA. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.